It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
Hey, Fred, we got a 10-pound shove, got a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man, good man in the community. Sup, hot. Tell him your name sent you.
Avery.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe.
I digress.
And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of the dogger. This is something I'll make it enough.
Sup, hot. And tell him your
it's
name sent you. Sent you.
Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios.
It's That Podcast.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 46. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell what time it is.
That's what time it is. I think everybody in Minnesota and Detroit and Green Bay know what time it is.
They do. Bears time, that's what time it is.
Bears time.
You operate on Bears time now. And of course, the day after the game, Friday, Twitter responses go, so do they start Chase Daniel over Trubisky?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
My dad brought that up at Thanksgiving.
Jesus.
I really like this guy. He played better than Mitch in the preseason. No.
No.
No, this guy's a bum.
Yeah.
He's a serviceable backup.
Correct.
He knows the system.
Correct.
He doesn't come in and shit his pants.
Correct.
That's the only thing you want
guy
to do.
That's it. He's not the starting quarterback. If Mitch is healthy,
no.
Mitch is going to be the quarterback.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's rumor that that Mitchell is 50-50 for Sunday.
Still hurt?
Yeah, he's 50-50 for Sunday. Quite frankly, you need him healthy for every game, right? Obviously, but he needs to be ready to go for the Rams game because they're going to need him if they're going to beat the Rams.
No, yeah. Well, the way the Giants are starting to play now.
Yeah, you're right.
Just defense. I mean, defense won that game on Thursday.
100%.
Without that pick six, the Bears don't win that game.
No, they do not. I agree with you.
So, I don't know. And I'll tell you another thing that's starting to drive me nuts is all this Kyle Fuller Pro Bowl talk.
Stop.
No. What? The only reason the Lions had a chance to come down and tie that game is because fucking Kyle Fuller.
Yes.
It was his assignment caught the ball every time on that last drive.
Yes.
He got beat on the last play where he ended up with the interception.
They threw.
His man got him in the end zone, broke, came back toward the ball, and it was going to be an easy strike for six, except Stafford overthrew him.
Yeah, they threw at him. If he's a Pro Bowler, you don't, you know what I mean?
You don't throw at him.
No. By the way, Saquon Barkley in the first half of today's game, as we record this, 2 touchdowns, 94 yards rushing, 6 catches.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was that week one?
I know. But I think he's getting comfortable in the system and everything else. I mean, that's what you're going to have to contend with next week. And bring it. I'm not super concerned.
Right. Well, you know what? I was talking to Mr. Viking today. Of course, he had his head down and he was all selling and stuff.
As well he should be.
But he said when the Bears run into a team that can run is going to be the true test. Because right now, the corners and the safeties don't have to do anything because up front is so strong.
Yeah.
They can just sit back and ball hawk, which fucking Fuller.
Eddie Jackson, man. That guy can play football. Can he?
He's a grown-ass man.
That was one of the best picks I've ever seen.
Like, yes.
The way that he...
Yes.
He led the receiver. He watched Stafford's eyes. He knew where he was throwing the ball. And timed
it perfectly.
And he
didn't jump it early.
He timed it exactly perfectly. Pick six because he knew there was nobody in front of him. Like he just there was nobody in front of him.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean that was.
And he had another shot at that. Well, I mean he saw that play earlier in the day.
Yeah,
and he didn't time it right.
Nope.
So you just know the whole time he's like, do that again.
Please do that again. Yeah, Eddie Jackson's all man. That dude can play football, and Eddie Jackson just was, I don't know, lights out. I really thought.
I told you. Touchdown.
That's right.
Pick six.
That's right. That's right. Callahan had a good game. I mean, again, you're like you kind of hinted at, your DBs all play better when your upfront rush is taking care of business.
Yeah.
Right? You have time to play better.
And again, where's Leonard Floyd? I mean, if you're double and triple teaming Akeem Hicks and Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, that side, you and I should be able to walk in off the other side.
One would think. Let me see how many tackles he had. He had two helpers. That's it. You're leading tackler. You're leading tackler again, Roquan Smith. That guy's and talk about all man.
Oh, all right. Oh, here's one for you.
Okay.
My dad gets on me first of all, he goes, you told me at the beginning of the season, if the Bears had 8 wins, you would be doing a jig in the streets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They have 8 wins now.
Yes.
And all you can do is throw shade at him on the podcast. And I think it's because we see how good they could be.
Yes.
Like if everything clicks 100%, this could be a really, really good team. They're not there yet. So that's what we're pointing out. We're pointing out where they can improve.
Right. I'm not going to shit on an 8-3 team as a rule. Right.
No.
But we all want them to be. The bar's been raised. Like the bar is not here anymore. It's not down here. If you could see my hands here on the podcast, my hands are low here. Now my hand is high. That's where the bar is now, right?
Yeah.
The expectations are different. It's just like when the Cubs started winning.
I was going to say, like this is the 2015
Sox,
Cubs.
It's like when the Sox, you know, in 2004 started to look good. And then 2005, the expectation has been raised.
The Hell Bears have to 83 Bear.
Right. The Bears have to play at that level. Now, granted, and another thing that we're all, at least I'm leery of, they haven't really played any really good teams yet.
No.
And the really good teams they've played, they've lost to, right?
Yeah. And the thing, and the ultimate ball kick there is the really good teams they played and lost to weren't playing that well when they played them.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, like New England, they were beatable that day.
Absolutely. They were 100% beatable. And the Packers were beatable that day. And Packers aren't in great shakes either.
Yeah, should have beat Miami.
Fuck the Packers. Yeah, I mean, they should have beat Miami that day. I mean, like, there's, but then again, I mean, they should have lost. They arguably could have lost this game. They could have lost this game, right? They didn't.
Absolutely.
Their offense just didn't do anything.
None.
I mean,
nothing.
Nothing. I mean, Chase Daniel, 27 to 37, 230, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times.
You know, why are you asking that guy to throw the football 37 times?
And here's another pet peeve. They ran him on design run plays.
Yes.
He is your only quarterback.
Yeah.
He's it. You got Tyler Bray.
And that wasn't even Bray wasn't even scout team.
Right.
They got him off the street?
They got him off the practice squad. Yeah, he was on the scout team.
Oh, he was on scout team.
Yeah, okay. But, I mean, like, he's your quarterback. Chase Daniel's a quarterback. Why on God's green earth are you doing stupid shit? Like, run him out on design run plays. Like, it makes no sense to me. I'm sitting there every single run play. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? He's your only quarterback. You have to have a sense of self-preservation, right? Like you have to, he's it. It's not like that's Mitch and you have Chase on the bench.
No.
Like he's it.
Even then, you don't want to gamble that. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, on too many design plays like that.
I mean, Chase Daniel had 4 carries, right?
Yeah, too many.
I mean, it's four opportunities. It's 4 opportunities for him to get killed. And what some of them could have been scrambles. He was running for his life. Okay, great, whatever. But I know at least two. There were at least 2 design run plays.
Yeah.
And why are you doing that? Like, it makes no sense to me. Why you would
and
do
the
that.
One where was where he got up and he was like just the classy old man. There's something that's kind of David Ross about Chase Daniel, right?
Very.
I mean, he. Just kind of a journeyman all around cat, but he seems like a good dude. The guy gets the, going for the head flag on him and he gets up and he like whispers in the guy's ear, hey man, I know you weren't doing it intentionally, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
On national TV.
Yeah.
That looks pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And in post game, he was styling and profiling.
Oh yes. Seen,
yeah. And it's funny. They brought up on, what was it on? Cap Friday morning. They talked about how would he have dressed that way if they had lost? Like, would he?
Right.
Right. It's like, whatever. But yeah. So other stats.
I was going to go back to throwing shade.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Reason why it popped in my head in the first place was Roquan. You talked about leading tackler again.
Yep.
And how amazing he's played.
He's been great.
You know, how we're over the moon and how he's what a first round pick should play like and everything is fantastic.
Yep.
Hub goes, yeah, you know, I'm disappointed at where he is in the run right now. He continues to get better, but I would hope that his run stopping was as good as the way he is defends the pass.
What?
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me as a rookie?
Right.
He's like, yeah, you know, the speed of the game, there's just nothing compared to it in the NFL. And
Like he's,
I know. But what he's saying is what he's learning is he's got to scheme more because his speed alone isn't going to get him to where he needs to
be. Yeah, I mean, just ask Leonard Floyd.
And I get that. But really, you got to talk down the guy that's been the leading tackler other than Danny Trevathan the last
like five games. Weeks? Right, exactly. So to get let's hit the stat book just for a second. So the Bears rushed the ball 15 times for 38 yards. You want to know why I'm throwing shade? That might be one reason.
Yeah.
You got to run the ball more, man. Jordan Howard only had seven carries for 13 yards, especially against Detroit. Especially with a backup quarterback. Right?
Yes.
Like, run the ball. Like, what? Don't. Anyway.
And, I mean, and this could be me. Yeah. I wasn't paying attention that closely, but they weren't putting nine in the box, were they?
No. No.
Okay.
No, they weren't. Yeah, so I said, like I said, 15 for 38 for, as a team. Tariq Cohen, three carries, 14 yards. Jordan Howard, seven carries, 13 yards. Taquan Mizzell had a carry for seven, and Chase Daniel, four for four. Lions ran the ball particularly well, and maybe that's where Hub was coming from on his shade bit about
Tariq. Yeah, about, well, but Kerryon did well against us the first time.
Kerryon didn't play. Kerryon hurt.
Like I said.
Kerryon bad.
And neither did Marvin Jones.
That's right. LeGarrette Blount.
That's right.
19 carries, 88 yards, two touchdowns. He was fresh. Yeah. Definitely not worn out from usage, that's for sure.
No, yeah. The first game, they I think where they run him like two or three times for
something like that, you know,
5 yards, yeah, maybe.
They kind of had to.
No. Theo Riddick, I mean, he's been a goal line guy up until now.
Yeah, I mean, they averaged 4.6 yards a carry. But, you know, receiving-wise, again, nothing, no great shakes here. They didn't try to really push the ball down the field a whole lot. Taylor Gabriel, seven catches, 49 yards. Yeah. Tariq Cohen, seven catches, 45 yards. Trey Burton had four. Trey Burton did not have a good game, by the way.
He did not.
Four catches, 28. He had a fumble.
Yeah.
He also had a key drop. Like he was wide open and dropped it.
Couple. I'm going to say a couple key drops.
A-Rob only had two catches for 37. Anthony Miller, three catches, 41. Taquan Mizzell had a receiving touchdown.
Yes, he did.
And Tariq Cohen had the other receiving touchdown, which is when you have wide receivers on your team, your running backs shouldn't maybe have both receiving touchdowns. This is the kind of shade we're talking about right here. Right? It's nitpicky.
Right,
it may be nitpicky, but it's things that are going to be important in the playoffs, and it's things that are going to be important against good teams like the Rams.
I know you have. You got the stat book right there in front of you. Do you have the longest pass?
Yes. I do.
That Daniel threw.
Chase Daniel's long was 29 yards.
Oh, yeah. Well.
Yep.
How much of that was after the?
That I don't know.
Yeah. See.
It all counts.
It seems like everything was underneath.
Yeah. I mean, Chase Daniel.
If you are going to make that guy throw, that's how you do it.
Yeah. I mean, Chase Daniel had a passer rating of 106. So to say that he played like shit is wrong.
Yeah, but.
But he managed the game. Basically, Nagy threw him out
there and said, "Don't lose." The defense bailed their ass out is what happened.
Yes, yes, 100%. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like I said, the Lions were able to run the ball pretty well. Pad Stafford was he was 28 to 38, 236, two picks, no touchdowns. Passer rating of 67. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. But, I mean, like a lot of that is the defense, and a lot of that is he's not good. So
it is, but he's your franchise,
right,
and has been
for a while now. So leading, like I said, leading tackles Roquan, seven tackles, four helpers, and a sack. Danny Trevathan had seven tackles and a helper. Fuller had seven tackles and a helper. So Fuller, I mean, at least tackle wise, he had two pass defense, one pick.
The Husky alumni, was kind of shut out.
Kenny Galladay
in the first half. Yeah.
Kenny Galladay ended up with five catches for 90 yards. Yeah, at the end they just started throwing.
And that was all in the second half.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it seemed like it was all just about all in the second half. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because I kept thinking to myself, they can't be double teaming him back there.
No.
But you think? I mean, with Jones out, he was going to be really the only option, and of course Stafford went to some guy I had never heard of.
Yes. He went, one of their leading receivers was Bruce Ellington.
Ellington. Yeah. I was going to say Jennings, but Ellington. Okay.
Ellington. Six catches, 28 yards. Michael Roberts, three guys, whoever that is. I have no idea what that is. Just like, just random guy. It's like, for baseball, Everybody talks about
Michael Roberts, party of two. Your table's ready.
The Cardinals, the Cardinals just keep rolling out guys that
nobody's
ever
heard. They made them.
Yes, like they manufactured.
But those guys
them.
Were good.
Yeah, they were. This guy's not.
You just never heard of them.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, that's.
I hear that Ellington guy. I kept thinking we heard his name all day. Six catches, 28 yards.
Correct. Six catches.
Okay.
28 yards. A long of 11.
Yeah.
So it was dink, dink. That's all it was. Dink. He's actually Ellington looks to be a running back. So he had a carry. Well, it might have been a reverse, but or an end around. Excuse me, not a reverse.
They didn't get to him either.
No, the Lions had the ball more too. Lions had the ball 32-46. But when you get a defensive pick six, that's it. That's the ball game, right? I mean, they played pretty well. Blunt had had a touchdown to start the game. Parkey kicked a field goal to make it 7-3. The Taquan Mazzell reception touchdown makes it 9-7. They go for two and miss it. Then Blunt touchdown run. Tariq Cohen, Chase Daniel touchdown. Parkey kicks the extra point. Prater field goal, and then Eddie Jackson with a pick six. That's your ball game, 23-16. And we should tell everybody, by the way, in 2 weeks. 2 weeks time on Sunday, Sunday the 9th, which is the Rams game.
Yeah, right.
We're going to have another blowout, I think. We're going to do pre and then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
That got flexed or was it always a night
game? It got flexed.
Okay.
It got flexed pretty early on. It got flexed before the Vikings game got flexed.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Yeah, that was supposed to be a 3:25 game, but it got flexed.
Nice.
So I think we're going to do that again if it's. It's cool with you. It's cool with me. So we're gonna do.
Yeah, man.
We're gonna do. I'll come down to Strawberry Studios and we'll do a pre and then a halftime and then a post with special guests again. We'll see.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. We had a fine time. Bringing you guys the Sunday night game. So we like doing that. It's fun. So I think we're gonna do it again. In 2 weeks' time. Although next week we got the Giant and Saquon Barkley.
Well, I'll need some beer.
Clearly. We will need some beer. And Jay, I don't know if you knew this or not. See this here about this? There's another kind of football that's being played.
Is there?
Yeah. Yeah, there is. College football.
Ah.
And they're winding down.
Younger men.
Younger men playing a much younger game that takes forever. That takes 4 hours. But that's not their fault. It's the timing rules of college football. But I digress.
Oh, my God. That game yesterday.
Oh, the Texas A&M LSU game? Yeah.
No, I was talking about how Michigan just sat on the nest for 9 hours and nothing hatched.
No, nothing. They were terrible. We'll talk. Yeah. But I'm sure that if there was only some sort of
we'll get some better insight than just me going,
that was terrible.
Right?
Right, exactly. I wonder if there's some way we could say that this, you know, maybe bounce this off somebody. There's only a way. Oh, there is a way, I think. So we're going to. Bring in DeKutch. Not DeKutch. By the way, shouts to DeKutch. Had a little heart attack issue. But they found out it was just a sausage in there. It was just a sausage. So I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah. Dick had killed the heart attack.
That's right. Dick had, it was just a sausage stick in there. So we're going to bring on the coach to talk some CFB. It's going to be it's going to be good times. And it's going to be interesting talk. Because things are winding down. Championships are being decided. So we're looking forward to some talk with DeKutch, and that's coming up next here on It's That Podcast. All right, welcome back to It's That Podcast. We have found Coach. He's there. We found him finally. Took a little bit, but we found him. How are we doing, Coach?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, just ducky.
He had a bunch of national hits he had to do before he could do us.
Exactly correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Is the national scourge. And no, I'm not referring to global warming or the White House press office. I'm talking about Notre Dame.
They're
going to be in the playoff.
Yes, Notre Dame is in. There are three spots available. One of them has been taken up.
I know. I'm depressed. I'm shocked. And it's not good. However, I can take solace in that I am a firm believer that either Alabama or Clemson will beat the piss out of them come the playoff game. True or false?
That's true.
Okay, good. So I want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Yeah, that's true. Now, that you could say that about, you know, Alabama and Clemson would beat your quote, beat the piss out of them. You could probably say that about 75 teams.
Probably. Just none of the teams that Notre Dame played, unfortunately. Those 12 are not included.
Now, my concern is if the Buckeyes take the Wildcat to task like they think they're going to, do they jump from number – what are they – first of all, they were 10. It was 10-4 right. when they beat Michigan. What are they going to jump to, 6?
Yeah. Well, currently, then, to interject, I have the latest AP top 25 poll right in front of me.
Well, there you are.
Ohio State's 6.
Okay. That would have been my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if they take the Wildcat to task, then they're in, right?
Well, they're definitely in the hunt. I'm looking at some – I got some ESPN predictor stuff up on my screen right now. And their playoff predictor has Ohio State at 4 and evidently Joe's beloved Irish at 2. Bama 1, Clemson 3, Oklahoma just on the outside at 5.
Yeah.
Now, my assumption, that includes how they predict the playoff games, where not playoff, excuse me. My assumption is that's how they predict the championship
games. Yeah, the conference title games. Yeah. Now, my guess is, here's the problem with I don't know, title games in general, but whatever. Okay. This particular scenario, Georgia's 4. They play Alabama in the SEC title game.
Yes.
So they're going to get bounced. So they're not, they're out. And traditionally, whoever is at 5 on the week before, that's the team that if someone above them loses, they get in, right? That's kind of traditionally how it's been.
Yeah, depending whether or not they're in a title game themselves and how all that kind of can come out in the wash.
Right. And right now, sitting at 5 is Oklahoma. They are they play Texas again, this time in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah,
in Dallas, so it's technically neutral site, but
sure,
it's at Jerry World. So if Oklahoma can pull that off, it sounds to me like Oklahoma is going to be the 4. That it's going to, and if Clemson goes out and whacks Pitt in the ACC title game, which I don't think there's any reason they wouldn't, right? Because Pittsburgh's not great.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's no good.
So I would think your top 4 is going to be Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. I would think if Oklahoma wins. Now, if Oklahoma loses, you know, then it's kind of for grabs. Ohio State will probably get in at that point.
Now, if Georgia beats Alabama,
chaos ensues.
Okay.
Yeah, which is I'm kind of pulling for that. I want it to be as messed up as humanly possible.
Because if memory serves, Jim Fredrickson's Michigan State Spartans kicked the hell out of the Buckeyes. Is that correct?
Correct.
So, no, not this year.
They didn't.
No, Ohio State's one loss is to Purdue.
That's right.
You're right. Michigan State beat Purdue.
Yeah, Purdue's a decent enough team, but Ohio State's problem is that Purdue blew the doors off them.
Yeah, they did. Whacked them. Something about 30, right, or something like that.
Huge. They're still scoring.
Yeah.
And
wait, they just scored again.
Kind of like the Gophers up at Camp Randall.
If it really comes down to it, I don't know what they will do with Oklahoma and Ohio State.
Yeah,
they'll both have one loss.
Yeah, I mean, if Alabama, they're really going to sit with one loss. Alabama would have just lost to Georgia. Probably the only other team in the SEC worth their salt, probably, right?
Right.
Notre Dame, unfortunately, is undefeated. Which, in theory, Notre Dame could be 1 in all this, right? In theory.
Well, they would need Clemson to lose, too.
Correct. That's true. Yeah.
I think for that to happen.
So the highest thing would be 2, because Clemson's not losing a pit. Like, that's...
Clemson... I looked this morning, Clemson's a 24-point favorite.
Yeah, and that's probably not enough.
Pitt is 7-5.
Is my guess. Correct. Pitt's barely bowl eligible.
And that win against Michigan looks a lot... It doesn't look as great as it did after Ohio State. So.
Yeah, right.
For who?
For Notre Dame.
Oh, no, but Notre Dame's in.
Oh, I know, but okay. I'm just trying to think of strength of schedule and everybody
else. Yeah, in terms of like where they're 2, if they're 2 or 1 or where, right, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, can we talk about the two Pac-12 champions at this point.
Utah and Washington?
Yeah.
Well, Bill called it for the season.
I know.
Yeah, but they're not as good as... Yeah, I guess I can get half on this. I get half credit. But okay. Because I thought Washington would be a lot better.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's true. I mean, I think if I remember correctly, we were talking about, you know, Washington was ranked like seventh, and maybe they were underrated.
Yep, CFP, right. We were talking CFP.
Yeah. So, yeah, we did have Washington and Utah, but Utah had 9 and
so apparently the Washington state of California doesn't play football anymore.
Not well enough anyway. No, not well enough at all. All right, so the Big Five title games, I think we've already touched on them, but let's go through them formally here. ACC, we got Clemson and Pitt.
Yes.
Clearly Clemson.
Yes, Clemson will win that game.
OU Texas, who you got?
Well, I don't want to take them, but I would take Oklahoma. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I said Texas is kind of the surprise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look out for Texas in the Big 12. If any Power 5 upsets, it could be Texas. But now, you know, the one thing about this format is they got to play. You got to beat Oklahoma twice. And I don't think they're good enough to do that.
Probably
Oklahoma's better than I thought they would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they've been ridiculous lately.
Yeah, they have the lights out scoring points anyway.
Yeah. They're probably a 10-point favorite, so I would think you would take Oklahoma again.
Sure.
I mean, I think the other night they punted once.
Alabama went their first, what was it, six games without punting?
Yeah.
They only punted once in like 5 or 6 games. It's crazy. Big Ten, we got obviously Ohio State laid the smack down on Michigan last night. They're in, and Northwestern's been in for a couple weeks now.
Yep.
And that's got to be an Ohio State big win, right? Like, because they have to go out and kill them. Like, they can't just beat them.
Yes.
That's not going to be enough.
Oklahoma and Ohio State both are trying to win the game more impressively than the other.
Style points.
They're both shooting for 70.
Correct.
Yeah.
100%.
Now, what's kind of interesting is I did check this one this morning, too, and Ohio State is only a 13-point favorite.
That's weird.
I would have thought it would be more than that.
Yeah, because Ohio State's going to win, but they have to win by a lot.
Right.
Yeah, they both have to win by a lot. Either one of them wins close helps the other one.
Yeah, either one of them.
When Northwestern went up to Minnesota, they were getting points.
Yeah.
They beat Minnesota. Minnesota goes to Camp Randall, spanks the Badger.
Yes, they do.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, you're right.
100%. Do they have a shot? I mean, they're getting 13.
I mean, do Northwestern have a shot? I mean, they got to play the game. Yeah, I mean.
I know.
They're there. Do they have a shot?
The jerseys out there and just whatever. Right.
But Ohio State is on a mission now.
Right.
Because now they've won, and now they need to get in the CFP. And to get in the CFP, they're going to have to win by a lot. They're going to have to put the smack down on Northwestern. Like, that's going to have to happen. If they're going to jump Oklahoma, they're going to have to go out and just whack Northwestern.
Kind of like the Hawkeyes did to the Illini.
Yes.
A little something like that.
Something like that.
All right.
To Lovie Smith's beard, who got an extension today, by the way. Did you see that?
You know what? And good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Good for
Greg. Because, honestly, he came in there and caught a lot of shit and had to...
Yes.
I mean, he needed to get out of a hole, and they handed him a shovel. So let's give him a little slack.
Yeah, I think extending Lovie was the right thing to do. If you don't, who are you going to replace him?
Exactly. Right? I was about to make that point. Like, if you do, who's going to replace him?
You know, George Halas isn't coming through that door.
No, I was going to say John Makovic not taking your call. No.
Red Grange not coming through that door.
No.
Red Grange dead. SEC, the foregone conclusion has been done for a while. Alabama, Georgia.
Bama is a 11-point. Bama's an 11-point favorite.
I mean, they haven't lost a game all year by less than 20, and won a game by less than 20 points. That's crazy.
So is it safe to say that their second team is the second best team in the country?
Yeah, I would think so.
Oh, okay.
But now it's neutral site. Technically, it's in Atlanta, right? If I remember right, it's at the Mercedes.
One of the Mercedes domes.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So I mean, anything can happen, right? crazy well, things can
Georgia,
happen.
Listen, hey, Georgia's an outstanding team. Correct. Georgia might be favored. You know, Georgia might be favored against.
Yeah.
Every other team on this sheet.
100%.
Maybe except Oklahoma.
100%.
Yeah, they've got one loss themselves. Yep. That was a bad loss. They had a bad day against a good team. Yep. LSU smacked them around pretty good.
Yep.
But Georgia's really good.
They are.
Really
good. They're very good.
So,
but they could just get overshadowed by Alabama. So,
does this begin the discussion of a 6 or 8 team playoff? I mean,
they have it every year. I've said from the jump it should be at least 8.
And I mean, to me, if Ohio State gets in at number 4, I don't think you've got the 4 best teams there.
Right not.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's the big question, though. What is the purpose of this? Is the purpose of this the 4 best, or is the purpose of this the 4 most deserving?
Right.
You know.
Right.
And how do you, because at some point you have to take the results of the season.
Yes, the season has to mean something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the problem is that, you know, we're at 4, right? The 5th team's out, right? If we go to 8, the ninth team's out. If you go to 12, the 13th team's out, right? It's you have to draw
Thank you, somewhere. Mike Francesa.
That's right.
Well, and you got to be careful. I know that there's too much money at stake, that the thing is going to expand someday because they will just print more money for the TV rights.
Correct, yeah.
But you have to caution or worry about too much expansion because then you water down the regular season or you water down these championship games.
You're absolutely correct.
If you go to 8,
yep.
The SEC title game doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. But the thing is, what would make all the title games matter is the winner of the conference gets an automatic bid.
Yeah. Right. So you're saying 5 bids.
Right. So you'd have 5 automatic bids, power 5.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it this way. Let's say there's 5, you take the champs of the Big 5, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You take the best mid-major team and then 4 at larges.
So a 10 team playoff.
That's 6, 10. Oh no, you need 8. 2 at larges, sorry. And then 2 at larges.
Well, you're gonna hate this answer, but Notre Dame won't let that happen.
No, I know that. No.
Notre Dame has a chance at 4 slots to get in.
Right.
And under your scenario, they've only got a chance
at 2. Yeah.
Then I'm down for that.
Of course you are.
I mean, I'm good with it. I'm good with that. Anything that excludes Notre Dame, I'm down with 100%.
Now, this is the worst 2 words in sports, what if. But let's say Michigan lost by 3 to Ohio State.
Yeah.
They would have a legitimate pitch about being left out if Ohio State doesn't handle Northwestern like we imagine.
Yeah, let's say that Michigan only lost by 3 to Ohio State, and Ohio State only beats Northwestern by like a touchdown or less.
Or let's say Northwestern wins, and no Big Ten teams get in.
Yeah, that's valid because there's no way Northwestern winning is not going to get them. They're not that good. No,
because no Big Ten team getting in is going to be the first thing to make this go to 6 or 8.
And did you guys hear the amount of Northwestern people going to the game?
Oh, the university's paying for buses.
It's like 20,000
people. Yes.
It's like some outrageous amount of people going. I mean, because some alum is paying for it.
Yeah.
Like the school's not paying for it. The school might pay for the buses, but I think some alum is paying for the tickets.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. If I remember right, the invite was to every undergrad at Northwestern.
Well played, Rich.
I think. Oh, no shit.
You know, I saw that story and I thought, whatever. You know,
it doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't.
It's
meatballs.
But to me, that's like a sign that your fan base stinks. Hey, if they're free ticket and a ride.
Yeah. Hey, have a 100-year program that sucks ass. You got to do stuff like this. Exactly. How do you get them going?
Yeah, 100%.
Those kids haven't been alive for a bad Northwestern.
Got that right.
Yeah,
so, right. I'm going to roll through the mid majors real quick. Just eyeballing them real quick. AAC is going to be UCF and Memphis, the defending national champion UCF Knights.
Uh-huh.
just look at their banner; it's right there for you.
they'll be the first to tell you.
That's right.
What's interesting about that is they're only a 7-point favorite.
Yeah, exactly. You know, everybody's screaming, tell you everything you want to know.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah. Conference USA.
Vegas and the people that know are telling you, nah.
Yeah,
well, and they're not even, I saw some simulation stuff over the week where they were, last year's UCF team would be favored over this one.
So. Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Conference USA is Middle Tennessee State, the Blue Raiders, against the returning, resurgent, rising from the ashes, UAB Trojans.
Yeah.
Dragons, excuse me, Dragons, not Trojans.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Yeah, that's a good story.
Not a bad basketball team.
No, playing at Bartow Arena. No, not at all. In the MAC, it's Buffalo against NIU. Who do you like in that game, and why is it the Huskies? That's right.
Well, they've been, you know, this has been the point all year for them, right? They've been, people have been talking about them being the best team in the MAC all year, and you know.
Well, last week they didn't look like the best team. They got,
and they always play pretty much Silver Dome, by
that's at Ford Field.
Or yeah. Ford Field.
Yeah, an empty Ford Field.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing. You go out, you win your conference, you go, and you get the chance to go and play, and it's empty. In Detroit.
No, I have and to get, now, here's where like Mountain West and I believe Conference USA does it, and maybe even AAC, I don't remember off the top of my head, but they have it at the home team of the best team, the home stadium of the best team.
Yes.
So you're going to have a packed house. It's going to be rocking and rolling. For TV, it looks great. That MAC championship game is going to look pathetic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be pathetic anyway, but like an empty Ford Field is just sad.
It is sad.
Mountain West. The two traditional powerhouses, Fresno State and Boise State. And then the Sun Belt, App State yesterday came down for all the marbles, Troy versus App State. And App State victorious 21-10. So it's App State versus Louisiana. Don't call us Louisiana Lafayette. The Raging Cajun, home of Peanut Tillman. They're battling it up. So, in summary, do you think, who do you like in the CFP? Who do you think your four is?
Well, I got Bama, Clemson, Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm. Those three are easy.
And like I said, it's a coin flip between Ohio State and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I
mean, a lot of that's going to come down to what happens Saturday.
If Texas beats Oklahoma, they're out.
Yeah.
Yes. If Texas beat Oklahoma, they're out. But I guess if Oklahoma, I don't know what the computer will tell them to do, mm-hmm. but I guess I would look at it as if Oklahoma wins big and Ohio State wins big, neither one of them can play a lick of defense, so that's a wash.
Right.
I would say Ohio State's loss is worse.
Yeah.
The Purdue loss is worse than Oklahoma's.
For sure.
Texas loss.
Yeah.
The problem for Oklahoma will be they won't have a win nearly as good as Ohio State beating what was at the time a number four Michigan.
Right. Their best win's not as good, but their worst loss is the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's going to be. It's going to be the debate.
Yeah, it's going to come down to that. Whatever the computer spits out.
Yeah.
And
It's whatever the committee decides. Well, like they take the input from the computer, but it's going to take a room full of people arguing about it to make a case for either team.
Right. But what I would like to be a fly on the wall for is what the computer spits out.
Yeah.
And then when they go around the room and talk to the coaches.
Mm-hmm. That's right. My gut is telling me it's going to be Oklahoma if all things play out the way they should. Unless Oklahoma just like last second field goal beats Texas and Ohio State just goes out and whacks Northwestern by like 40. Barring that, my gut tells me it's going to be Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. That's my gut.
See, my gut says Ohio State because they'll have better wins.
Yeah.
I don't know that's...
But that loss.
Man. I know. But they'll have wins over... And now TCU's no good right now, but they were 15 at the time, I think. Yeah. Top 20 at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Michigan State's a top 20 team.
Yeah.
They will have beaten Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, Purdue's going to a bowl, right? They're bowl eligible.
Yeah, Purdue's bowl bound. We're laughing at them, but Northwestern is ranked in the top 20.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're 19, I think.
Yeah. I mean, in Oklahoma, I mean, their conference, I mean, the Big 12 is no great shakes other than the top two or three, right?
No. So I think that might really favor Ohio State.
Yeah. I mean, the Big 12, you had four ranked teams going into today. You had Oklahoma. Oh, this updated with today's ranking. So four ranked teams. You have Oklahoma and Texas. Oklahoma's at 5. Texas at 9. West Virginia's at 15. Iowa State's at 24. But then you have like teams like TCU, Baylor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kansas.
So
I don't know.
Ugh. So yeah, Texas beats Oklahoma and Northwestern beats Ohio State.
Yeah.
Georgia's in.
Yes. Probably so regardless. Okay. Regardless of the outcome of the SEC title game. Definitely be a thing.
Easily be.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, because, I mean, you're not going to put UCF in there. That's not going to happen. If Oklahoma loses and Ohio State loses, yeah, I mean, well, I guess it doesn't really matter what Georgia does.
The argument, though, because then it would be a two – I think people would get a little fired up even more so because now you're leaving UCF out and putting in a two loss. Oh, no, you're saying Georgia won.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe was saying regardless of what happens in the championship.
I think if Northwestern wins,
yeah,
and Texas wins,
yeah,
those two teams win, I think Georgia's in regardless of what happens in the SEC title game. I think it makes the SEC title game mean nothing.
See, I don't know if they would put a two-loss Georgia in ahead of UCF.
But then you have to have the argument, okay, if they played on a neutral site, Georgia would win that game by 30.
I agree with you, Joe, but at some point you got to be able to look those other schools in the eye and say, yeah, it's legit.
It's not rigged.
It's not rigged again. This season does matter.
Right. I mean, I guess. Yeah. And then, I mean, if you put UCF in, then whoever they play, they're going to be beat by 40.
Right.
Minimum.
I hear what you're saying.
40 minimum. And if they play Alabama, it could be as much as 50.
Sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for. But
I guess.
Oh my gosh.
It's like, we just want to in. Okay, great.
Alabama.
You're in. UCF. You're in, and you get to play Alabama. Congratulations. Wouldn't you rather just play in a bowl game, just taking that?
I agree. But on the other side, UCF could turn around and say, hey, I mean, and it's all transitive properties, I guess. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, UCF could say, hey, listen, we drilled Pitt, drilled them.
Yes.
And Notre Dame barely beat them.
Yes. Isn't true? Yeah.
You know, so I really think, the committee, if they put a two-loss team in that had just lost their, a two-loss team that had just lost, it would be hard to look those other schools in the eye and say, hey, the system's legit.
Yeah, that's true, I guess, maybe. But, I mean, if you truly want the four best teams, Georgia, if it plays out where Oklahoma loses.
Yeah.
And somehow Ohio State loses. I mean, if you want the top four teams, Georgia's got to be in the four. They got to be.
Yes, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not saying that if Georgia played East, but again, the season's got to matter.
No, to a certain extent.
Otherwise, you're playing basketball.
And again, you know, I'll point out that if UCF makes it the four and they end up playing Alabama, they're going to lose the game by 50. They're going to make UCF. They're going to make UCF look like Northern.
Yeah.
I mean, being undefeated is great. I mean, all good on you. I mean, you got to play the schedule you got, right?
Right.
You got to win those games. Sure, great. Whatever. That's fine. But when you're playing, you know, lower level competition, this isn't the SEC. Right?
No,
they shouldn't be necessarily punished for not playing in the SEC. But I mean, if you want the four best teams, like it's.
Yes.
But it goes back to what Bill was saying. Is it the four best or the four most deserving?
Yeah. I mean, that's what you got. And is the system rigged or not?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
I mean, because and I know it doesn't, what happened last season doesn't matter.
Right.
But the reality is you've got a team that hasn't lost a game in 2 years.
Yeah.
I think they beat Auburn in their bowl game.
Ooh. They did.
Okay. Yeah, so. I think, yeah. And then you're going to put a two-loss team in ahead of them.
Yeah, but the two-loss team lost to LSU. LSU and lost Alabama in the SEC title game.
And was in the playoff last year and has had a great 2-year run. I get all that. Yeah. But I just think that's dicey for the committee.
Yeah. I mean, because if UCF gets in, then you should just have a rule that if you're undefeated.
Well, no, I'm saying I think the 2-loss part is a big deal here.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, like,
you're putting a 2-loss team in ahead of them. Because, you know, anybody can have a bad day and you say, listen, we got beat once, but everybody knows we're still better than this team. Right. I mean, that's happened before with the Big Ten. The Big Ten champ 1 year didn't get in. Penn State was the Big Ten champ, I think, and Ohio State got in.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then won the title, I think.
And then won the damn thing. So if I remember, if I have that sequencing right,
I think that's right.
But I think that might have been the year they got beat by Clemson, though, in the semis. Oh. That Ohio State got in, Penn State was the champ, because I was pretty hot about it.
Right.
I thought if you win the conference, you go.
Yeah.
But if I have that sequencing right. But the difference here is you would be putting in a 2-loss team, and that would be a big deal.
Yeah, I guess so.
Any speculation on the warm place that the Hawkeyes are going to get to have their bowl?
No, I have not spent any time.
They don't deserve a warm place.
What? Come on.
Just another year of 8-4. I know there are certain places in the world that would kill for 8-4, but.
Oh, yes. Champaign, Illinois.
Champaign, Illinois would kill for 8-4. I've got that right.
Yeah. But.
No, they won't be in the Outback Bowl or anything. That'd be like Penn State. Year's Day.
Yeah, I have no idea how this any. I have no Michigan. Idea. It's going
to
wash
I just,
out.
I just remember the coach telling me one time, the closest to New Year's Day that you get to play, the better.
Yeah.
These games that are like on the 26th of December, you don't want any part of those, man.
No, that first Saturday when they're out, you don't want to be on those.
You don't want to be on
you
those.
You don't. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody's watching them.
That's exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I'm watching.
Well, everybody's watching, but it just watching. Doesn't mean anything.
No, I'm not. No, yeah. I'm not watching that.
Yeah. That's part of my sickness.
Now, if there could be a, you know, we have the FBS, we have the FCS, but if there could be a UCF division that we put them in that say, yeah, you're the best of whatever you are, but you're not really good college football.
Well, I mean, it's tough to say. Like,
well, some
because like you said, they can only play who they can play.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe if they play an SEC schedule, they're what, under 500 team, probably, right?
Well, some people are worried about that bigger picture, like kind of maybe over the next 20 years or so. Like, what if the top half of everybody in each Power 5 conference looked around and said, hey, we don't want the bottom half of this conference.
They want to do like an EPL.
Yeah.
Where they take the best of the best.
The top half of those five conferences formed their own thing.
I'd be 100% down for that.
You know?
100%. Anything that blows up the NCAA, I'm 100% behind.
And then they just kind of form their own deal, basically based on, like, you know, success and TV revenue.
Yeah, because, like, Texas wants out of the Big 12 in the worst fucking way.
Well, no, they don't, because they got their own network. They got their own
that's,
network.
That's why they that's want
why out. They kept them.
No, that's why they want out.
Oh, that's why they stayed.
That's why the Big 12 kept them. The Big 12 contractually made them stay.
Yes.
Texas does not want to be in the Big 12. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Texas wants out of the Big 12 in the worst way. They want to go anywhere but the Big 12. Because the Big 12, you don't have enough teams for divisions. You do have a title game, but the title game is kind of just another game. It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of, whatever. You were going to have a rematch of an earlier game anyway. Whatever, great. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, great shakes.
You get to play Kansas, and you get to play Missouri, and you get to play Kansas State.
I stand by my statement.
The 12 title game's a mess. Because what it's going to end up happening.
It's just another game.
What it's going to lead to more often than not is you're going to have to beat the same team twice.
Twice.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Exactly. So let's say Oklahoma does win does win the game. Right. Well, Texas can rightfully say, hey, we're 1-1.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
When's the tiebreaker?
Right. Right. The Big 12 actually has to get to 12 members.
You know,
that would be a good thing. Right. Out of 10, they kind of need to go to 12.
Really? Big 10. You're going to tell me that?
Yes. 14 team Big 10. You sure?
Nobody will want to join that conference though.
No.
Under the way they don't share the revenue. Like yeah. Oklahoma and Texas get some off the top mm-hmm. and then they divide it up.
Right.
You know, and so yeah. and then they won't accept anybody's that is small enough to be willing to go for that.
Right.
Yeah. That's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, going back to what the coach said about expanding the playoffs and having it turn into basketball, mm-hmm. that's when your mid-majors and your UCFs and your Northern Illinois get a chance to actually
yep.
be first in the country.
Correct.
Yep. I mean, depending on who gets hot at the end and you play two, three games tops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like the argument for FBS has always been, well, they play too many games already. They're just going to play more games is not good for the student athlete, quote unquote, right? Which is a bunch of shit.
It is. All they care about is money.
Correct. So if FCS can do it, why can't FBS do it? Right? Because they all still have homework to do. They still have tests to take. They still have exams and they still have studying that needs to happen. But FCS schools play, if they go to the title game, 16 games in the season, right?
I'm not hearing a little voice saying that the schools in the FBS are harder. Therefore,
you can't tell me that a school is harder than an Ivy League school. And an Ivy League school is FCS. But they don't play in the title game, to be fair. They're not in the tournament. But you know what I mean? Like schools like that.
Gotcha.
So I don't, it's not, yeah, no. That doesn't fly with me. So, and they, if they really want to do it, they should do it like FCS does it. Like just do that. But the money's, the bowl system is just so entrenched. That money is just so fucking corrupt that.
And the aforementioned Francesa counting to 42 bowls now.
Yeah. And get this, there's going to be teams that are bowl eligible that will not be in a bowl. There's not enough bowl games.
How is that even possible?
I know. Yeah, there's not
I hadn't spots. Seen that stat. So there are so many teams with 6 wins.
Yes.
Because I know a few years ago they had the opposite problem. They had to go down to a 5-win team.
A below 500 team.
Yeah, they will not have that problem this year.
There's more 6-win teams than there are slots. Well, hey, correct. I'm all in favor of more bowls. I love them.
I hate them with a passion. Then again, I'm on the other end of it, so whatever.
It's more college football.
It's more work exactly. for just Joe. More work for me. So the less, the better.
College football.
Just
turn the TV on, let them go.
It's just more work for me.
And the ratings for those games are really good.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Compared to other live sporting events, mm-hmm. you take a nothing bowl on a Wednesday afternoon on December 28th.
Yep.
And it will outdo big time college basketball games in January and February.
And I will argue this, that once sports gambling gets more proficient, those ratings will go up.
Yeah,
guaranteed.
That absolutely.
Yeah, because that's
so right now you only have a handful.
Joe
of
and Jane.
We'll start have like gamble. six or seven states that are at it now. By my count, if I remember right, it's like six.
Right.
Once that becomes like 20, dude, you're gonna have 50 bowl games. Yeah. You're gonna have like 50 bowl games because that's where the money's at.
Like some of those states. Some of those state gambling associations might sponsor one.
Exactly. There could be a DraftKings Bowl or a FanDuel Bowl. That could 100% happen.
What's the name of the place in London?
William Hill.
Is that it?
Yeah, Bill. William Hill is a huge operator. They own the most sports books in the United States.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they also own a shit ton overseas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, William Hill's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. There could be a William Hill Bowl, 100%.
Yeah. So I can sit in my living room and watch in my den and watch two games on two big TVs and then just gamble away on my phone.
Are you kidding? Exactly.
Yes.
Sign me up.
Yes. Yes.
20 bucks on the ones you're not even watching.
Yeah. Yes. For sure.
Keynote on the ones that you are.
Yeah. Which means it's only going to get worse and the money's going to get bigger. And eventually, you know, ESPN's going to have to do something because. Yeah. More people want to watch your bowl games, ESPN. So if you want higher, big, more profile games to bring in more revenue, you're going to have to expand that playoff, brother. Money's going to talk at some point. Four is not going to be enough. Money's going to talk. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yes. That's true. It will go to – I just hope they stop at 8.
It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. And yeah. I think contractually they're through 2021 or 2022. But after that, all bets are off.
No pun intended. Well, my friends, the clock on the wall.
It is.
That's right, our own All-American.
Indeed.
The coach.
That's right. Coach, thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime.
We'll hook up again, I'm sure, for the bowl games and figure out what's going on with those. So.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we get a little college bowl game pick'em going or something.
Oh, that'd be fun. I like it. That'd be fun. I'll be terrible at it.
That's all right.
That's what I've been doing. That's right. All right, Coach. Well, thanks for coming on. And we just want to thank everybody for listening to this episode of It's That Podcast. You can find us on Facebook, www.facebook.com/itsthatpod. You can find us on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at J, the letter.
The letter.
Sleet Shirley. You can email us at joe@itsthatpodcast.com or jason@itsthatpodcast.com. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and Alexa just by going, hey, Alexa, play It's That Podcast. We want to thank you guys for listening and hope you enjoyed this episode of It's That Podcast.
Fucking Packers.
Fucking Packers.
I am Cap Boyardee.